Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Oh, God's good. God's good. God's good. How many of you had a little bit of a battle this week, but we found out that the battle is His, but you felt yourself being in it? Did anybody, you felt yourself being in the battle? Raise your hand real high this week. You know, that's just normal. It's normal. God's just revealing more of who He is to you. What do you think God's vision is? And you can substitute the word vision for plan. What do you think His vision is for your life? Just ponder that just for a moment. What is God's vision for your life, yours? We need to think on those things. Sometimes we just have to meditate in them and toss it around a little bit more and let Him speak to us about that. But I do want to tell you that part of His vision is to see you saved, healed, set free, transformed, empowered, equipped, and serving. He wants all of that for us. And He wants us to be activated in it and not be intimidated. Do you know the intimidation? Do you need prayer, brother? Huh? You need prayer? Is your back hurting? Okay. It wasn't by the Spirit. He was doing this and hurt, you know, grab. So it wasn't by the Spirit of God. I saw it, you know. So I just want to be aware of what's going on. What?
Somebody hit him in his car.
Car accident this past week or? Okay. Okay. Can you stand? Is it okay to stand? Can you stand? If everybody would just stand in honor of God. And just really stretch your hands toward Him, and just you pray. Don't wait on me to pray. You pray for him to be healed. Father, realign his back, put it in order as you created it from the beginning. And Father, as we stretch our hands, we just say, be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. And thank you, Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank Him. Thank Him. Amen. See, that's the retriever. That's the retriever. Run after it. Go get it. Don't be distracted by this other stuff. Just run after it. He's giving it to you.
He has a huge dog. And it's like two huge dogs.
He has a huge dog?
Yeah.
Is it a retriever?
One.
Okay. One of them's a retriever. So, yeah, God's picking you out. He's pointing you out today. He's wanting you to run after what He's provided for you. Don't be distracted. Amen. How many of you, you can be distracted, or you have been distracted before? You can be distracted from what God's really doing, and all of a sudden you're doing something else or more focused about something else, but He's wanting you to look at this. He's wanting you to go after this. How many of you have ever done that? Yeah, all the time and sometimes and all that. But see, God is in the process of bringing everything that you need. He's already given it to you. We think sometimes we have to work to get something. He's already provided that for us. We just have to work it out what He's already put in. So you don't have a little bit of Jesus. You don't have just a little bit of Him. You have all of Him. Amen? You have all of Him. And He's given you everything that you need to do everything that He said He wanted you to do, and for you to become everything that He said you are. See, that's Him. It's all about Him. It's not about your works, even though from what he's done, we do work. We work from the point of victory, not work to get victory. Because he's already said, you are, he didn't say you will be, you are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. That's who you are now. And he's wanting us to be able to walk in the very things that he says you and I have. Even when we don't feel like it. Our feelings may be screaming something else, but his word is firm on what he said. Even though his feelings may be, it can't be true. It is true. It is true. You know, before the church was ever born, he had a plan to build it. You remember, we talked about that a few weeks ago in Matthew 16. He said, he asked all of the disciples, who do men say that I am? And they said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what Peter said. And then he said, you're blessed to have heard that because you didn't get that from man. You got that from the Father. There was a direct contact between Peter, between you and the Father. And he's not born again at this time. He's just a disciple. But Jesus has not died, buried, and resurrected. So he's not born again yet. But he is being discipled. But already he heard from the Father that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, upon this rock, I will build my church. We're in the process of being built. And he's doing the building. See, that word upon means to superimpose. It means to become one with. Upon, to become one with the revelation that God has given. Every truth that you know that you become one with makes you free. You can hear truth and not be free because you haven't become one with that truth. When you know, when you become intimate with the truth that you know, that you heard, when you become one with the truth that you heard, it's in you. He said that truth will make you free. In other words, there's varying degrees of freedom. How many of you are more free today than you were when you first got saved? You know, I'm not talking about free from sin. We're free from sin. Whether we choose to sin or not, we're free from the power of it. He's already said you're free from the power of sin. Now, you can open the door and do it, but see, before you're born again, you had to sin. Because that was your nature. So you have a new nature, a new creation. And that's how he starts this whole thing about building this church. You're a new creation. You're brand new. Old things passed away. Behold, all things are brand new to you. So this revelation, this revealing, this opening up the scriptures to you by the power of the Holy Spirit, he said, I'm going to build my church on that. Because the revelation in that passage was, Father revealed to Peter who Jesus was. And then Jesus said, and I say, I also say. So he's about to bring revelation to Peter. I tell you who you are. He said, upon the thing of the Father telling you who I am, and I'm telling you who you are in me, and I'm in you, because we're one. So this thing about, bless you, this thing about oneness is, he talks about in John 17, 22, he says, the glory, he's talking to the Father, the glory which thou hast given me, Jesus, the glory, Father, that you have given me, I have also given to them. The same glory that you have given me, I give to them. I want you to say this, I'm them. Amen. Or I'm him, I'm her. I'm them, I'm the them. The same glory that God gave Jesus, the same glory he gave you. It doesn't mean you go around shining and glowing and have halos, that's not what it is, because he didn't do that. Just walking around. Now transfiguration, that's a little bit different there, but he said the same glory. And then he goes on and says, that they may be one. The reason I'm doing this, the same glory that he's given me, I'm giving to them, that they may be one. They may be one just as we are one. See, we're one with the Father. We're one with the Spirit. We're one with Jesus. But here's something else. We are one with each other. We have to capture that. We're one with each other. We're one body. Many members, a lot of different members look different, but we're one body. One. Oneness is a whole lot better than unity. Because when you come to oneness, you have the unity. See, in Nehemiah's day, the people were of one mind and started working. And they built the wall in record time. Miracle time. Why? Because they became one and had a mind to work. Not for salvation, just at the guidance of the Holy Spirit. This is what we need to do. We need to build this wall. Oneness is great. It's important. And he said this word, he said, I will build. This word build means to put together, but it also means to embolden. It means to encourage the church to be strong and bold in the things that we have been given to do. For instance, how bold is your love? Think about that. Just think about how bold is your love. And I'm not talking about I love pizza or I love my dog. those are a love, but I'm not talking about that kind of love. The love of God is agape. It's unconditional. Whatever you do, he loves you anyway. How bold are you with your love for others? Or are you intimidated to let people know that you love them? See, the church has to come out of intimidation and lose this little silvery thing that's over here and forget about it, because it's only a distraction. He wants us to run after the things that God says that we have and that we can do, and without hesitation. So he wants us to be built by him and be at these places and be going to the places that he sends us and be able to do the things that he sent us to do. But we have to be bold in doing it. Brenda had to have a certain amount of boldness to stand up and say, I saw a brown dog. Well, you know, in most circles, you know, say, well, what is she saying that for? That's not spiritual. Oh, it is when God tells you. Do you hear what I'm saying? But if you don't think God's talking to you, it's not spiritual at all. Why is she in here? You know, escort this woman out. She's talking about brown dogs. You know, but see, if you have a carnality about you and you cannot receive the things of the Spirit, then you're just going to ignore it. But there's a certain amount of courage that we need to have, because that's how he's built us, and he's still building us for it. Don't be intimidated by what the enemy's doing. Don't be distracted about it, all this other stuff. This over here looks a whole lot better because it's shiny and it's sparkly and it looks like it's real valuable. There's nothing more valuable than what God gives you. So he wants us to understand that we are in a place that he's going to cause us to be bold with humility. Bold with humility. That's who he was. And he wants us to be able to understand that we will run after the very things, even if we run after the things that God has given us, even if we are opposed by the gates of hell. How many of you felt that opposition this week? You felt the opposition of the gates of hell opposing your Christian walk. See, the reality is it happens. You know, people that doesn't think that the forces of evil come after them, you know, they're in denial. That's the reason. You know, it always amazes me. He said, you know, I just don't let me have to go through things. Lord, don't let me have to go through things that are pretty difficult or hard. Don't make me have to do that. Then you would not need the Holy Spirit. Because he's here to comfort He's here to comfort you while you're going through these hard, difficult things. He's here to guide you to truth. He's here to reveal to you the deep things of God, because you and I can't see them unless they're revealed to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the reason the Holy Spirit is extremely important in our lives today. There's so many churches that want to sort of push him out because they can't control him. Or set him aside because they don't want to see the messes that comes with it. You know, can it be a mess? Sure. Why? Because we're human. We hear in part. Bible also tells us in Proverbs that when you have an ox in the stall, there'll be a mess. So if you have a framework that he's building this church, so if we have the mentality that we don't want the mess, we don't want the issues, we don't want the problems. So you know what you have to do to get rid of that? Get rid of the ox. Y'all hear me? Look, this is a little messy. So let's just get rid of the oxen. Just get rid. But see, the rest of that verse says, the oxen is the strength of the harvest. So what you're pushing out is your harvest. You don't want to deal with the mess because it's just too messy. That don't feel good. That don't look good. You know, that's the reason you have leaders. Clean up the mess. But keep the ox. Keep the ox, you got to do this sometimes. But we're not getting rid of the ox. Why? Because we want the harvest. Because the harvest belongs to him. We are his laborers in the harvest. So just because something doesn't look right, feel right, doesn't mean that God's not doing something. And when it runs off the track, leadership will get us back on the track. Y'all hear me? But if we as leadership already made a decision, look, we don't want this thing running off the rails. Well, who does? But let me ask you, has your life ever run off the rails? Has your particular life, after being born again, has it ever run off the rails? We didn't throw you away. You're still here. I've been derailed several times in my living in God. But he always cleaned it up. He always got me back on track. I just had to be willing to say, I repent. That's the wrong way to go. I want to go this way. I choose to go your way. Now, that's the repentance, turning from and turning to. Turning from what's wrong and turning to him. See, that's repentance. You don't have to cry. Crying's fine, but you don't have to. And if you judge somebody for not crying, then you made a judgment that's going to come back on you. That's the words of Jesus. Judge not that you be not judged. The same judgment that you give others is the same judgment that you're going to receive. See, Jesus is building his church. He's building us. He's building us. I'm not building you. We can edify, we can build up, we can encourage, and we can teach you, and we can speak to you, and we can prophesy to you, and we can do a lot of different things, but Jesus is building you. But see, he didn't say individually, he said his church, which is collectively the called out ones. We've been called out of the darkness and into the light. And he's building us. Is he working on you? You know, am I the only one he's working on? You know, well, Pastor, you don't go through that much. Who wants to follow me around for about a month? I'll be glad to. And whenever something comes up, I'll say, okay, get you some of that. Go. I, Now, I'm not being facetious. I'm really not. Now, my life's great. It really is. But I'm not exempt. See, you see me every day. Not every day, but every Sunday. You see me almost every Sunday. But I'm not the most important person in this church. He is. I'm just a Fig Newton of that imagination. Figment. Fig Newton. I must be hungry. No, I did that on purpose. I really did. But see, but see, the thing is, you know, even in being in human form, I'm not the most important person in this church. You know who some of the most important people are in this church? The Bible tells you it's the ones you don't see. Right now, you don't see the ones that are taking care of your children here and down there and teaching them, teaching another generation, the next generation about God. Amen. You don't see them today, but they're there. He said even the parts that are hidden are given the most honor. The hidden parts of the body are given the most honor. It's not about being seen. You know, so one of the things he tells us to do, tells us that he's going to bring us revelation. He's going to bring us teaching. He's going to bring us his word that helps transform us in Romans 12, 2, helps transform us if we have the renewing process in agreement with him. If we're really willing to say, okay, I see that what God is wanting me to operate in, but this is blocking the way. Well, you know what you do with this? I know you don't trust me because I played too many tricks on you. I get it. But this is pretty simple. You know what you do with this that's blocking the way? Get rid of it. Don't have the way. So that's what you do in renovation. You take out what you don't want anymore and put in what's supposed to be put in. Does that make sense? But see, then he goes on from that part. From being transformed, he goes on to the part of over in Ephesians chapter 4. He says, and he gave some apostles, he gave some prophets, evangelists, he gave some pastors and teachers. For, why did he give the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers? Why did he do that? By the way, it didn't say the Spirit gave. These gifts are from Jesus. Because it says he himself, Jesus himself, gave these gifts. Might not mean anything. It means something to me, but anyway. He said, for the equipping of the saints to do the work of the ministry. For the equipping of the saints. Who's supposed to do the work of the ministry? I need a resounding me. One more time. Who's supposed to do the work of the ministry? You. The saints. Now, as a saint, there's another problem. Why are you calling yourselves a saint? Are you that clean? No, he calls me a saint. We want to still consider ourselves as sinners. No, we're saints. No, we can still sin, but that don't make us a sinner. My sin nature's gone. My new nature's here. So if you're born again, turn to your neighbor and say, I'm a saint. Now, if you're real brave, turn to the other side and say, you're a saint. All right. Equipping the saints to do the work of the ministry to the building up of the body of Christ. Who's supposed to build up the body of Christ? Saints doing the work of the ministry. until we attain the unity of the faith. Have we attained the unity of faith yet? No. So what's he still doing? Equipping. So we need to be equipped. We need to be trained. until you come to the knowledge of the Son, the full knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to a mature person. He wants us to grow up. And do you understand that He will reveal to you areas that you haven't grown up? Wave at me if you know I'm telling you the truth. He'll reveal. It's not shame. It's not condemnation. He's just showing you where you immature, where you want your way. There went my sock. So Brenda told me before, don't tell them that. And I said, I'm just being honest. You know, but anyway, you know, I want them to match. So I'll be walking crooked. See, we're coming to, listen, if you can't laugh in church, you can't laugh. Because He sits in the heavens and laughs. You know why? He's looking at us. Okay. But we're well on our way to becoming mature. If you're mature, you don't do that. No, well, I'm not going there. Yeah. Brenda asked me one time, she said, why do you have to act like a little boy? I said, because I am one. You know? Now, I'm really hoping that amen was a good one. Me too. Okay, all right. So we're just little boys. We're just little boys on our way of growing up. Becoming a mature man to the full nature, for the full stature, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we become in our soul, in our being, the full nature of Christ. Because we already have the fullness of who He is in us. We just haven't worked it out in our soul yet, in our mind, our will, and our emotions, in our choices, in our feelings. That's the reason we need to be equipped. And it goes on, it says, as a result, we'll no longer be children. So if you have not been equipped, guess who we still are? Children. I'm not talking about, he's not talking about childlikeness here. He's talking about childish. Being childish. We'll no longer be childish. See, when we're still childish, and when we haven't grown to the fullness, he said, as a result, we'll no longer be children, tossed about by this and by that, by this, by that. Have you ever been tossed about? This, that. I'm this way, I'm this way, I'm that way. Raise your hand if you've ever been that way. See, you're in the process of growing up. When we're tossed, he's just revealing to us, no, you're not really focusing on me, you're focusing on this little object over here. You need to run after what I've given you. And you're tossed by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, the trickery of men, and the craftiness of deceitful scheming. I mean, all that's happening today. He said, but when you mature, you won't be impacted by this. It did not say you won't go through this, but it did say you won't be impacted by it. No longer will you be that when you start growing up in Him. And grow up in all aspects of who He is. From whom the whole body, being fitted and joined together, being held together by Him. And that which every joint supplies, every connection supplies. Why does He want to do this? According to the proper working of each individual part. If you're an individual, raise your hand. All right, those of you that have not raised your hand, what are you? See, you're an individual. He said, each individual has a supply. So what are you supplying? Or are you not connected? So you have to be connected to be able to supply. The joint is this member and this member coming together to make a joint that supplies what the body needs. Why is that so important? Why is that so important? Well, the scripture answers it. It causes growth in the body for the building up of itself in love. Causes growth. When this happens, it causes the body to grow up The whole body, not just one or two people. The whole body to grow up, and it builds itself up, and it's able to build itself up in love. Are y'all okay with that? Okay. See, I was going to just open a lot of that up, but I do not have the time, but I want to give you three things of how to be equipped. And I'm not going to be able to finish all of that, but you are going to hear the three things. First, how can I be equipped? First one, be available. He is not looking for your ability. He's not looking around and said, who is the most capable of doing what I want done? He's not doing that. He's looking for availability. He's got the ability. He's just looking for somebody that's available. The church a lot of times will look and see who has the ability to best fit this position. Well, let me tell you what the scriptures tell you. 2 Timothy 2 says this, and the things which you have learned from me, heard from me and learned from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful, everybody say faithful. Faithful men. Faithful people. Then he says this, who will be able, that's future tense, who will be able to teach others also. He's looking for faithful people. Choose faithful people, and I'll give them the ability to be able to do what I want them to do. Sometimes we choose a lot of people that have the ability, but they're not faithful. Y'all hear what I'm saying? And see, he said, choose faithful people, and then let them step into these positions. And he said, and I will make them able, because it's his ability that we need anyway. So the first thing we need to do in being equipped is be available. So what are you available for? See, there's a lot of things that needs to happen around here and other places. What are you available for? Be available. That's part of the equipping. Well, that's really not my calling. You can't sit on the seat of calling when there's service that needs to be done. You can't just sit in a chair called calling. Well, when I'm called, I'll do it. He's already said, be faithful. So are you available? Be available for these that are supposed to be equipping you. Be available. You know, yes? Yes? Amen. Are y'all okay with that? Does that mean I have to be perfect? Faithful, does that mean I have to be perfect? No. The Bible says over in Proverbs 24:16, he said a righteous man falls seven times. You know, he said a righteous man falls seven times, but what does he do? He gets back up. That's faithfulness. Didn't say you don't fall. You don't do everything right. I don't do everything right. And we make mistakes, but what do? We get up and keep going. So that is faithful to the very things that God wants to be faithful, even though we stumble along the way. But he said, give them to faithful people, and they will be able. I will enable them to do this. Number two, you ready? Be a servant. Be a servant. Paul said this, Romans chapter 1:1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. What did he name first? Servant. He let people know up front, I'm a servant. I'm a servant of God. Called to be an apostle. We have some that says, well, I'm an apostle. Okay. Or I'm a pastor. Okay. So you can be any of that, but not be a servant. In other words, you're here and everybody's got to serve you. But Jesus said, I did not come to be served. I came to serve and to give my life up as a ransom. So you can get a title, but are you a servant? Paul in Philippians 1, Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints. James 1:1, James says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a servant. Every one of them named. And then Peter, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle. Servant was the first thing they named. Why? I'm serving God. I'm at his disposal. I'm available. My calling may be saying this, but I'm available to do whatever he says me to do. Then be a servant. Okay, that's number two. What comes after two? Three, we're there. Number three, be a minister. Be a minister. 2 Corinthians 3:5 says this, not that we are sufficient in ourselves. We're not sufficient in ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves. I mean, whatever we've done hasn't come from us, but our sufficiency is in God. Our sufficiency is in God. New King James says, we are sufficient. He has made us sufficient as ministers. NIV says, he has made us competent as ministers. New Living Translation says, he has enabled us to be ministers. The Passion Translation says, he alone makes us adequate ministers who are focused on the new covenant. Amplified, now I'm tempted to do this, Amplified, you know what that means? Amplifies, it is he! That's that little boy, you know, so. Anyway, it is he who has qualified us, making us to be fit and worthy and sufficient ministers and as dispensers of his grace. Who's a minister? Okay. I just read to you that you're a minister. And you're, listen to this. We say, well, I'm not a full-time minister. Oh, yes, you are. Your vocation may not be ministry, but you're a full-time minister. If we don't catch that, we won't be able to do work outside here and do work out there because we just don't feel like we're a minister. He has made you an able minister, made every single one of us. We're full-time ministers. He told us to always be ready to give an answer for those who are asking, to give an answer for the hope that's inside us. Always. He said, always. I know it's getting late, so I've got to close. I'll finish with this. The reason you are a full-time minister is how he's reaching people that don't come to church. You hear me? How does he reach people in the medical profession? Aaron, Rachel, they're both nurses. How does God reach those that are in the medical profession? He takes full-time ministers and disguises them as nurses. Do you hear me? Or disguises them as doctors. And they just show up at the hospital carrying Jesus wherever they go. And whenever it's time for them to say something about Jesus, they let Jesus be seen in their life. But you have to be a full-time minister, know you're a full-time minister to be able to do that. See, we're ministers full-time. Pumping gas, wherever we're going to grocery, we're full-time ministers. And when the time comes for us to minister, we can't say, let me make a phone call. Let me give you Pastor John's number. And Pastor John's gone to Hawaii. No cell phone. No nothing. Y'all hear what I'm saying? No, minister. We're full-time. If we don't see ourselves as full-time, how does he reach people? How does he reach the schools? He reaches and gets full-time ministers. Teachers. I'm looking for teachers. Teacher, right here. Teacher. If you're a teacher, raise your hand. He reaches and gets these teachers. Or gets these full-time ministers. Disguises them as teachers. And sends them to school. So they can minister not just to the faculty, but also to the students. That's how he reaches school. Are you hearing me? That's God's, do what?
And their parents.
And their parents. Yeah, when they show up and they don't like something, just minister to them. Be bold in your love to them. And don't tell them, you better be glad I'm a Christian. I'm messing with you. You know, how does he reach the police force? Same thing. He reaches and gets full-time minister. Do we have any people who works on police force? I know Scott, he works. He's in the federal government. Bless him, Lord. But see, he takes full-time minister and puts them in places where people are not near the gospel, and he makes them full-time ministers, okay, and he puts them in those positions so he can win people. But if you do not see yourself as a full-time minister, you won't do that. You'll be an employee instead of a full-time minister. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Is Robbie here today? Now, did he play drums today? Yeah, he played drums today. Well, I'm gonna do it. Y'all tell him I did it, okay? So let's just say we're gonna have to reach the praise team. Well, he takes full-time ministers and makes them a drummer? No, that's too much of a stretch. Tell him I said that. We pick on drummers all the time. We really do. See, nothing's a stretch, even lawyers. Now, that's a real stretch. But see, God has picked her as a full-time minister to go into law so she can be a light that shines to men who don't see Jesus. That's how he does it. So what are you? Everybody to get 1, 2, 3.
Full-time minister.
Stand to your feet. What are you? Who has enabled you? Who has made you adequate to do that?
God.
See, you don't know everything, but all you got to do is be what?
Available.
And he'll give you the ability that you need to fulfill the task that he's given you to do. Is that true?
Yes.
So as you leave today, you make sure that you do not forget you are a full-time minister because he's full-time inside you. And you are full-time inside him. So don't be intimidated. Just show up. Amen?
Amen.
Look at it. It's 12 o'clock. Okay. We're gonna close, but what we're going to do this. If you need prayer for anything, I want you to just come here or here. I need a couple of people to come on each side. If you're going to pray for people, I want you to face that way. Come here if you're going to pray for people, face that way. Okay. All right. So if you need prayer for anything, you just come up, okay? Father, I thank you for this group. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we ask you to dig deep inside of us and plant this seed so deep that we'll never forget that you have made us full-time ministers, that we'll be available. We'll be servants, and we'll minister people whenever you open the doors for that to happen.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org. Or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.